Welcome to Support After Abortions podcast. My name is Nathan Masserian, and I'll be hosting a dedicated series called Men Healing from Trauma. In our culture, men are not validated who've experienced trauma through miscarriage, pregnancy loss, or even abortion. Through this series, you'll hear firsthand experiences. You'll also hear from clergy, clinicians, and experts in the field of healing to provide practical ways that both men and women can heal from the impact of abortion.
Welcome back to our podcast, Men Healing from Trauma. I'm thrilled to be with you today. I get to be the guest host. My name is Lisa Rowe, and I'm the CEO of Support After Abortion. I'm here with Greg Hasek, who you've seen and heard from before. I'm thrilled to be here with him today to talk about something that maybe hasn't been discussed very much. I really felt compelled after attending one of the male task force conversations to really think about my role in this whole process. Why was I being called to be at that conversation, hear about men's trauma, and what role do I play as a woman in this whole conversation? And, you know, interestingly enough, I left with a deep sense of connection because I am a woman who's experienced trauma. And as a result of my trauma, I have struggled for decades with codependency. And for those of you who don't know what codependency is, it's when you put your worth and value into someone or something else, and you look to that person, those things for value. And Greg, you and I specifically had this conversation afterwards. My husband tells me when we're angry at each other, stop being a power chick. And I thought to myself, that's all I ever knew what to do. That's how I survived my childhood, is to take control of situations and pull up my bootstraps and create solutions to the craziness of my life. Mm-hmm. And when I was listening to you guys, and when I was listening to all of the research that we came upon, I really felt like maybe the conversation that people are having about abortion, that women are persuaded or influenced or pressured by men to have an abortion, might not be completely accurate. Because what I then heard from you guys is, wait a second, I didn't have a voice, or I didn't know how to say anything different. I sensed from men a very different, more vulnerable and soft approach to this conversation. And then the research validated it, Greg. And so I'm sitting here looking at my own self going, my husband thinks I'm a power chick when I am in the midst of conflict. How many other women are portraying themselves, because that's all they knew, as in control? This is my body. I'm in charge of everything. And underneath all of that, Greg, as a clinician, you talk about this all the time with the men and women that come in. I am so broken underneath. My insecurities run so deep.
Exactly. Yeah. You're in a position that you were never supposed to be in, and you're wired in a way that you were never supposed to be in that way. And there's several things I want to talk about in relationship to what you're bringing up. One is, historically, if we look at since the 1970s, men have been conditioned since the women's rights movement really to kind of like not fulfill their role as a male. Mm-hmm. They bought into the cultural conditioning that says men are not supposed to be part of these decisions. We talk about the abortion issue when men lost their right legally to choose whether they could keep their child, even though the woman didn't want to. When we lost that legal right, men in some ways lost their voice, and they actually in some ways were demasculated. And actually the legal system followed suit after that in issues of abuse, issues of domestic violence. If you look at how men are portrayed in our culture, okay, men became demasculized in some ways. And so in terms of them being a leader and a provider and protector, they kind of lost that voice. They actually bought into what society was telling them about who they are and what rights they have. You take that, and there's another issue I want to talk about, and that is in terms of male trauma. it's sad for me to hear you in that role, because it's sad for me to hear that men are not validated or empathized for the trauma that they go through, because you as a female have experienced male trauma and the manifestation of that male trauma, because those men didn't get services for the pain that they were going through. So in other words, when men are not validated and experience healing in their trauma, women get hurt by that manifestation of that. What happens with that is then men are perceived as perpetrators of female trauma. And then what happens is women can't trust us as a result of that. So you as a woman are going to look at a male and go, okay, men have hurt me, but men have hurt me. And it's sad for me to think that men, because they have not been validated for their trauma, women don't see the pain underneath the behavior that they have. They only see the behavior. And so then women have to rise up to be that leader, and men are not been trusted in that role anymore because they're perceived as those that hurt women. I think if we can move to a place where men are validated for their trauma, what can actually happen is men can actually start to heal from the trauma, be perceived differently, and heal in a way that now they can kind of rise to the place of being a leader and not manifest themselves in their symptoms, which those symptoms end up hurting women like you.
Wow. And what you're not saying, that we're invalidating women's trauma. We're not invalidating either side. We're saying that we have two broken people, right, man and woman, entering into relationship, playing out all of the trauma from their own life and the ways that they survived that trauma in unhealthy ways. And what we're noticing is men are falling, women are rising. And when I mean rising, women are taking leadership roles that they were never meant to be. So we're seeing demasculization. And then we're seeing lack of femininity. We were both created to be different. And so now we have this like crazy lack of equilibrium that, right, that wasn't, it's not biblical. That's, and right, yeah, there's so much confusion in our roles. And then we wonder why our divorce rate is 50%, 60 or plus at for second marriages, why we have so much transgender and homosexuality. I mean, there's so many, and we could go so far, mm-hmm, but there is confusion, role, mm-hmm, confusion.
Exactly. Yeah. And one of the things that I've talked about in my previous podcast, Lisa, was in terms of when women come to a man, or when a woman comes to a man in a crisis pregnancy, and they perceive the man as either coercive or abandoning that woman, or they just kind of acquiesce, what women often don't see is they don't see the trauma behind that reaction of the male. They don't see the childhood trauma that affects that decision-making process for the male. They only see the outward manifestation of that, yeah, decision or that coercion. So that woman is left with that perception of the male as who they are. He's coercive, he's abusive, he abandoned me. They don't see that trauma that's at the root of why they acted that way. And that, if we can get to a place where we can see that male trauma and help that male trauma heal, actually we can break the cycle of abortion, really, because what we know in research is women are majorly affected by a male, in terms of like 80% of women, for example, they report they wouldn't have had the abortion if they had a supported male. But those males are not able to be that supportive role. If we can heal that trauma that's underneath that decision-making, yeah, process, what we would find is we'd have these males that were more healed. When that woman came to that male at that point of crisis pregnancy, they would be able to step up and go, you know what? I can make a rational decision to be supportive of you. I can be a leader in that role. We can actually break the cycle of abortion in our country. And that's the exciting part.
If we
can just believe and see that healing male trauma is at the root of breaking the abortion cycle in our country, we need to communicate that to the public and get that information out.
Absolutely. And women need to be ready for that. Because like you said, because of women's trauma, we view men as perpetrators often. Exactly. And so how is it that women's hearts can be softened to receive that message that you're sharing? I can hear it in my head, many leaders going, yeah, this is great. This is great. But I'm also hearing many leaders who say, who don't realize that there's a narrative in their own mind because of their brokenness, saying men can't change, that they're, it's worthless, or they're aggressive and they don't. How do we change that?
Yeah. Well, what's interesting in our culture, if you look at all the different types of male trauma, one of the only male traumas that's validated in our culture is when men come back from war. So we see that even historically back to the Vietnam War. Vietnam vets were finally validated for their trauma and they were diagnosed with PTSD. That still exists in our culture today. If you look at all the different male traumas, whether it's male sex abuse, whether it's abortion trauma in a male, physical abuse in a male, we rarely see services provided for those men in our culture, but we do see services provided for men that have gone to war, for example, VA services and things like that. But why don't we see more services for men that have been hurt by all these other traumas? And until we do that and provide those services, yeah, men are only going to be seen as the perpetrators of male trauma. But what's interesting, when you look at a soldier that goes to war, they are perpetrators of trauma in terms of the killing that they do, but they're seen as protectors for females. So you think about, they're tough, they protect, they have guns. There are countries' protectors. So for a female, they can see them in a positive light of being a protector. But in the other areas of male trauma, we're not able to be perceived as protectors. We're perceived as perpetrators because we have unresolved trauma that creates that perpetrator perspective.
Wow.
And my hope is, we talk more about, you know, this conference coming up, that is, that if we can really get to the root, imagine what change can happen in our country. Absolutely. Not only in the abortion issue, but just in male trauma in general, and how it's manifested throughout our country in negative ways.
Yes, yes. And I'm thinking of practical steps for that pregnancy center director, that social service provider right now, that clinician. If you're not considering the other party when counseling, when engaging, when equipping, there's a huge gap, because, you know, if as a pregnancy center director, you're only providing female-based services, you're missing out on a huge conversation with the man that needs support. And so I'm thinking about a experience we had in our pregnancy center, Greg, that we had an opportunity to meet men with men and women with women. And then we brought them together to teach them how to have conversations, because all that trauma floods through and you don't have any idea how that's manifesting exactly. In the room or in the conversation. And so we always really tried to model that behavior. So we really need to do a better job of not just serving women, but serving men too. And I think you created a lot of great points. And so I, as a leader, as a woman who is in recovery, as a clinician, I just have a couple comments to make to leaders. Listen, if you are a woman who's hurting in your own right, or you have a limited perspective of what the role of a man is, I just really want to open your eyes to the fact that I was also unaware of how much my pain has been dictating all of the ways I see the world, all of the ways that I understand men. And what Greg said today is so powerful. It is empowering men. It is helping heal men. That's going to change everything. And that includes abortion. And if you're a man listening today, I just wanted you to hear from the bottom of my heart. I am so sorry that you have been invalidated. I am so sorry, as a woman, that I've carried a torch that didn't belong to me. You deserve to know your worth. You deserve to feel like you can lead well, because that's what you were created to do. And so we hope that you attend the conference. We hope that you get equipped to learn how your trauma, your past, is dictating your future, because no longer does it have to. Today, you can find freedom. Greg, is there anything you'd like to share?
Yeah, and if you're a woman that's listening, and I want to also apologize for all the men that have hurt you in your life, or if you felt like you were abandoned at the crisis pregnancy, if you felt like you were coerced into an abortion, and I apologize for all those men that have never been able to apologize to you, And the other thing that I want you to hear from what me and Lisa have talked about today is in your healing process, in your process of forgiving that male, whoever that male was, if you can take from what we talked about today and maybe see that male in a different light, that maybe that male had unresolved trauma in his life that impacted his decision and impacted how he treated you at the abortion, at the crisis of the crisis pregnancy. If you can take from that what we talked about today and maybe reframe that person, and maybe that will be helpful in your forgiveness process, I would encourage you to just kind of think about that differently. And as you attend this upcoming conference, I think being able to see men and see men in their trauma, and not necessarily just in their behaviors that are manifested because of unresolved trauma, but actually validate and have empathy for what's at the root of their behavior. And if we can, Lisa, get to a place where we can see men from not just the behaviors that they manifest, but what's behind that trauma, I think this decision or this discussion about abortion can be changed in terms of how the decision to abort is impacted differently.
Wow. This is a message that the entire world needs to hear. I am so grateful for our time together today. I'm so grateful that you would choose to join us. If you're interested in learning more, join us at supportafterabortion.com. Thank you.
Thank you for participating in today's broadcast. If you or someone you know has been impacted by abortion, we are here to help, and you are not alone. Our trained staff will meet you with compassion and confidentiality simply by visiting us at supportafterabortion.com. There you'll find a confidential phone number and contact us, in which our staff are standing by, ready to help you and be of assistance.